Welcome to the Autistic License Podcast. I'm Shauna and I'm in Carrickfergus in Northern Ireland.
And I'm Leo in London.
We invite you to listen in on our conversations as we get to know one another and experiment with unmasking in an autistic space. We talk about what it means to discover we're autistic as adults, especially with established careers as therapists. We hope to increase the visibility of autistic therapists, to contribute to the evolving neurodiversity dialogue, and to co-create an engaging and dynamic space. We extend a wide welcome to all. You don't need to be autistic or to be a therapist to join us, and we trust you'll find something of interest and connection here. Things like that just totally overstimulate me. Like, I love them, but they just, like, I can't sleep. I couldn't sleep last night. And it'll take me ages to come down because I get so into the entire experience fills my body and fills my mind. And it's just, there's no coming down from it for a good while. And I don't mind, like, it's just the way that I'm wired, and I just, you know, I can go with it.
That's such a great description of that experience, and I've never put it in those terms before. That's exactly right. Filling your body, and the idea of it positively, I think, as you're saying, stimulating you so intensely that it takes quite a while to wear off. That's very, very familiar. That's a lifelong experience.
It's just, I just get to the stage where I just assume that I'm not going, like, there's no kind of coming home and going, I need to go to bed. Like, I know I'm not going to go to bed. I'm not going to sleep. And just recognizing that, well, you're just going to be exhausted at the weekend, Shauna, but that's okay. Like, that's just, if you know that about yourself, then it just is, it has to take its time to run out of me. And it doesn't matter, like, I don't have to, like, I'm talking to you now, but I won't be like that with lots of people, with anybody. It's not that people, it's not to do with, like, the stimulation of keeping talking about something watching it again or anything like that. It's just that something happens on a sensory level that it fills me, that it just doesn't discharge for a long, long time. And it's not even to do with, like, Deacon Blue concerts or not, like, jump up and down and dance like everybody sits in their seats, you know, and you move, I move in my seat, but it's not like, it's not because of the dancing or that sort of atmosphere or crowds or anything like that. It is like just being filled with the music and having that buzz inside. Is that a real thing, do you think?
Yes, that's 100%. Yes. Well, tis for you and me.
But I've never heard anybody else describe it. Like, people just don't get why I can't wind down, and I'm like that over any social thing, especially something I've really enjoyed. But even if it's not something I've really enjoyed, like, just the energy of other people, good or bad, like, if it's whatever it's been like, just having been around all of that energy, it doesn't just leave me. It stays, and there's a stimulation that needs to work its way out.
And why is it? And why is it music? What is the magical thing? I don't think I know, but I know that's the. It's right at the top of my experience and always has been.
Well, it's music, like, yes, it's music in this way for me, but anybody can, like, if I was anywhere, even if I was, you know, at a social gathering that I didn't want to be at and I was just uncomfortable and I wanted to get away, as often happens. Like, even if it was that, it would still have overstimulated me because of the people and or the mental energy of, you know, holding my boundaries in that, or, you know, keeping, retaining myself and not, you know, coping sometimes if I'm hearing it. Like, music does it in a different way. But I feel like it's something about, it's something about the peopling at night that, or in the evening. I mean, it probably happens during the day, but I try and plan very carefully when I go out at night, because it will have a knock-on effect. And of course it's worth it in things like this, because I like things like this, but it's often not worth it.
So the whole thing about energy, we know, is a really big deal, and there's a big difference. When you talked about, just then, when you talked about being in a social situation that was actually uncomfortable and that you didn't want to be in, my experience, my playback of that is that I will be exhausted. I'm trying to think of examples. Would I come away from that and be buzzing in whatever negative way even? No, it's not true. That's really difficult to get my head around, whether, because instinctively I feel, let me try and play out this complicated sentence. This, the way that I think of that as you describe it is that I would get home and be exhausted.
Yeah.
And therefore just want to recover, sleep, rest, do nothing.
Yeah.
And now I can frame that in, I might need a zero demand day the next day.
Yes.
You know, that's a new thing though in my life. But I wonder if there is something in what you're saying that I relate to, that it isn't about collapse and rest. That the disturbance, if you like, is an up energy that...
Yeah.
It's true, actually. I think that is true. I think, yeah, stimulation, whether it's music, which is all wonderful and positive and exciting, or overstimulation at a social gathering that's uncomfortable. Both generally speaking mean that I need to wind down, I suppose I want to say, but it's more than that, isn't it? It's processing. And I think there's something about what you make me think of there is something about speed, the acceleration of stimulation that's maybe slower or faster, depending, faster probably. But the winding down is certainly slower than I think most people would experience.
Mine is definitely. I think that's, there is definitely a crash and a wind down, and it can be, you know, like exhaustion, in a few days' time. But there's no point in me trying to schedule that in for today. So it'll not happen. So there's no point in me actively cancelling my day to take a day out. it wouldn't work. I need to know that that'll come maybe on Sunday. You know, it'll catch up with me. But I wonder whether whenever you go into collapse and shut down, like that's just a nervous system protection strategy, no better, no worse than, you know, where mine doesn't seem to be able to switch off. Certainly not, I can't do it, but maybe yours naturally will put you into that first, and then you do some of your processing. Is that, if that's what you're describing, when you come home and then can crash and have a no demand day?
Yeah, I think it's hard for me, and it's normally very easy for me to contextualize these things with some rules. Yeah. Every time this kind of thing happens, I experience then I have to do that. But it seems harder to do here. This seems very, it depends-y. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just to say, I'll edit this bit out, I forgot to start recording the video. So we will do a clap at the end. It doesn't matter now. It's fine. But...
But we've still got it anyway. Does it matter if it's on the...
No, it just means that when I sync them together, I'll do it at... I'll make the sync point at the end rather than at the beginning. It does actually make zero difference.
Okay.
So that's fine. But yeah, it was the excitement. You see, there you go. Ah, this is a topic, I guess, but maybe not for now. But the idea of... being distracted. This is a crossover autism ADHD thing. Yeah. This is an intersection, isn't it? Where I'm very good at not forgetting to do things and doing things, air quotes, properly, because I've got systems and processes and habits and consistency around that. But if you distract me away during one of those, then I might forget something really basic and important, like hitting record at the beginning of our call so that I can see the video. And that was because I was really excited and it was spontaneous and last minute. Does that mean anything to you?
It means I can see it in you, because do you remember the last time we came on call and the doorbell or something had happened that you had to run downstairs and get something. And I had never seen you be flustered before, because I was used to you coming on and, you know, everything would be in place and you would just, that would all happen. And maybe you would remind me, have you got it plugged into the right place and things like that. So I know that part of you very, very well. And I was interested and welcoming, actually, of the other part that was a bit more flustered. And I knew that maybe you didn't want to dwell on that, but I wanted to sort of say,
Notice that.
You're welcome. You know, I want to know this part of you. And, you know, it reminds me even of, like, you know, today, whenever you were coming on and you had what you felt were the wrong headphones and you wanted to change. And then, you know, we had that conversation about whether, like, is it just that you think I'll be bored by it, or, you know, but that it's like, it's the same type of thing of like letting someone else see you when it's not all in a routine, but it's totally okay.
Thank you.
You know,
I know I'm enjoying talking about this. Actually, it's not uncomfortable in the slightest. And that isn't this the whole point of the intro to the podcast and the version that you wrote the bones of, in fact, about, you know, getting to know each other and unmasking in an autistic space. That's exactly this is what we're doing. That's probably quite an, I'd have to ask somebody else. Obviously, I can't be objective about this. I think that is quite a typical balance, probably, of how I am in the world, that most of the time things flow and are okay, and I'm all with process and conscious thought behind them. Nothing, as I often say, nothing just happens. But yeah, throw any kind of minor distraction, and it can be positive.
You know,
but then I will just, it proves the point that nothing just happens, actually. And maybe I don't know if that means anything to anybody, the nothing just happens thing, in that, you know, kind of every action and every reaction has some kind of either conscious effort or habit built into it or process around it.
Yes.
So that I get through and function okay. And masking is that's one definition, isn't it, of masking as well. Presenting as normal and smooth and consistent.
And yet it could get lumped in with masking, and yet it's actually like a self-regulation thing as well. Like, whenever you describe it, it's not just about how you come across to me or to the other person and anybody else, you know, just using me as an example. But it's not completely to do with that. It's also how you make yourself comfortable. Like, so you want the certain headphones on because then you wouldn't be distracted by a lead or something like that. That's it. Or you wouldn't be thinking, I wish I had taken the time to do that. So there's other aspects to it as well that maybe people looking on could see as masking, and almost then lump it into that. And I think that's in general what I feel sometimes about masking. It's the wrong word. It doesn't fully describe, and you can lose the nuances of things unless you really break them down and go, what was happening there? Like what we're doing. And we're only talking about us. Like, obviously, we're not every autistic person, but it's very exciting to capture this, like, today, just after a concert and just whenever something happens. And, you know, and I feel like if I hear myself back, I'll probably notice, oh, Johnny, you're talking so fast and you're this and you're, you know, but I want that just to be the way that it is, because it's such an interesting experiment for us to get to do this.
That is where I suppose, let's assume just for conversation and terminology that we are both ADHD.
Okay.
We kind of talk in those terms.
We're getting there.
That's what I mean.
We're getting there. Yes.
What it feels like to me, and here's the radio and the DJ and the sound mixing kind of thing, the faders get swapped a little bit for us both in this situation.
Yeah, okay.
So for me, the autism track is turned up. And I am uncomfortable if I don't feel prepared by the right things.
Yeah.
But, you know, I do have my spontaneity, my ADHD and my plan B thing that I can grab whatever's to hand and make do, but I don't have the same level of comfort that you do with doing that. In fact, it sounds like for you, that's almost a preference.
So interesting, because sometimes I wonder whether psychologically I don't like to look at my diary being full, and I get stressed if like there's no gap and you know, that kind of thing. And I feel like, oh, I can't cope with that. That's too much. Mm-hmm. And it never is, because I actually am so careful with it. Like I almost can underschedule myself because of that kind of fear of it being too much. Because when I look at it, feels like too much. And so if I look at my thinking about it and my preparation for it, it looks very autistic, like really noticing how much I'm going to be stimulated and preparing for it and things like that. But in actual practice, what I then can manage to fit in terms of just being creative with, you know, and I don't mean like scheduling anything like this, as I said, or seeing people or anything like that. But in terms of the creativity of, I'm going to go and do such and such a project or sort out such and such a, you know, bit of paperwork or play with my doll's house. Because I've been doing that since I got it last week.
Yeah, I didn't check in with you.
And it's already had, I've already been like taken off. So it had like little things stuck on it. So I've had the hairdryer out and scraping the bits off to prepare it for me to revamp it. So sometimes like when I look back, or, you know, I'm always like doing trainings or reading something, and like I really am. I'm never, sometimes when I try and explain how many courses I'm like half done, because like I do online courses and buy them and then go back and got different notebooks where I'm, you know, processing the different things. And sometimes if I was to try and look at that, I think like I actually pack quite a bit in, but it doesn't look like it from my diary, because I keep my diary very, like there is spaces in it and not very full because it stresses me. But there is those maybe more spontaneous aspects that I don't count as me. If anybody asks me what do I do and how do I live my life, I'd say, oh, it's very slow. You know, I don't see very many clients compared to a lot of people. And, you know, I don't have big aims of what I need to achieve, because I don't, like in terms of lists or anything like that. But actually then if you look in hindsight over what I managed to get done, then it looks, you know, it looks like it's fuller.
But yes.
It's like So am I like tricking my mind, because my mind can't cope with the idea of it being busy? But actually, if I'm actually having to do it, then I rise to it.
This is this is very, I'm just going to open my door. The dogs are scratching.
Oh, okay. Are they coming to say hello to me?
Would you like them to? Well, Molly, she's come and gone, actually. But if she, okay, if she comes back, I will definitely bring her back up. So what was I? Now, see, there you go. Prime example. Had a really cohesive, coherent thought that I was going to express just then. They have completely disappeared. Give me a prod.
I'm just thinking of that because now I'm picked because you said that and because there was such a picture of Molly coming in and I had an anticipation of seeing Molly. So now I'm thinking about Molly and I'm remembering her little face from the other day after she came back from the parlour.
Okay, let's sort this out. This needs to be resolved.
There she is. Come here, my darling. There we go.
Hello, beautiful. Perfect example.
Has that helped resolve things so that I can or you can remember what on earth?
Well, let's see if it has.
What's frustrating, actually, this being part of a podcast, us or anyone else listening knows what I've forgotten because they just heard it or they could rewind.
But let's see, because I want to see whether I can get back to it now because I've now been satisfied with that tangent. And maybe you've been satisfied with that tangent.
Kind of.
Okay. I was talking about the relationship between what my mind...
And
what I actually do. Yes.
So what I'm going to say, yeah. Oh, this is so incredibly useful to see inside the mind of two ADHD people trying to have multiple threads of conversation at the same time, or very relatable to people who share this, I am sure, or just really confusing and boring at the same time.
Or for people who live with autistics to go, oh my goodness. Yes.
You will know how it's really weird, but it keeps happening, that themes of conversation come up in a practice and then just everybody brings the same thread in the week. Mm-hmm. And there's some, and that's just happened here because what you're talking about, I have been talking about how this is one of the rare things that seems to affect ADHD brains and autistic brains in a similar way, is the having the list. That's a very autistic thing we know. It's in the stereotype is to make a list of all the things and to get them visually ordered as well. And ADHD, very visual, very often. But there is a shared, I think, overwhelm of things to do, even though there's comfort in knowing what they are and having an order.
Yeah.
This idea of being flooded, really, with task urgency or the inability to realistically prioritize in any one moment, or you're frowning, so maybe that clearly doesn't...
No, keep talking. Whatever passes through my face.
I will, but I like also noticing it, is that the overwhelm could be the amount of stuff to do, but more often what seems to be a common experience is if I do this thing, whatever it is I have decided to do, then I won't be doing all of the other things, and that is paralyzing very often. And so what seems to be a really helpful and very obvious strategy, but it doesn't occur until very recently with me, is one thing at a time. And I don't mean doing one thing at a time. I mean only even being presented with and being able to think about one thing at a time. And it's hard, sometimes impossible, because if there is a list, you know it's there.
Yeah.
But I've said this before, I'm sure I've said this to you. You know, somebody comes to me and says, oh, would you possibly be able to help with this and then do this and then we'll do this? I'm immediately flooded and I have to say, okay, you need to just give me the thing that you need now. I'll do it and then tell me about the next thing, which is weird because my previous career was a project manager. And so that was my entire job, was holding every task, reprioritizing and mapping them out for people. But maybe it's for people.
Yes, maybe.
That's the thing. It wasn't for me.
That's right. You needed the overall picture. So what I do is I have multiple lists, but they then get assigned to certain days. so I don't absolutely have to look at them all. So like my diary as well would have post-it notes that can move through the days. Yep. And if they're on post-it notes, they don't have to be done on that day. And I can lift them up and shove them to the next day and never have to see them. But the only things that actually get written are the ones that are definitely have to be done that day. So then it looks like very little on the actual day, because so many tasks don't need to be done on that day, you know, either for work or for normal normal life.
Yes.
So they end up moving on these sticky notes that I don't even have to see. So that's what helps me. And then I'll have a separate note for things that need bought at some stage whenever I'm out in the shops or things like that, or something that needs sorted out, or an appointment that needs made. But I think not having a big centralized list really helps me. And then not like some of them will be shoved in a drawer and not be out, or in a diary or things like that. But there is definitely something about only presenting myself with what is really, really manageable. And I've done that for a long time without explaining it as clearly as you have. That I think that's why my diary has to look so empty. And it's not empty, like it's acceptable, you know, but it's not crammed. And even just like, I can't cope with squeezing an extra person in, even if there's like seems to be a slot, if I haven't known about that for a good while and I haven't adjusted other things around it. That's why I can't say to clients, you know, you can't make today, could you maybe fit in tomorrow, even if I have a space tomorrow. It feels like too much, because that feels like too quick an adjustment. And yet that's where that feels like so, like, doesn't fit together with being able to spontaneously achieve something in that hour. But there's something about just me spontaneously choosing to achieve it, as actually committing to somebody else to make my diary look more packed than I need it to look. It's like the 24 hours beforehand is when it's going to be difficult, rather than actually in the moment. Does that...
I relate to all of the things, not necessarily in the same context. And that's where the differences and similarities are. We experience so much of the same stuff, but sometimes in different situations. So, for example, if I have a cancellation, I am very happy to immediately look at all the slots I have available for the rest of the week, offer them, and whenever they are, even if it's the next day, that's fine.
That's okay.
Because it gets moved in my Google Calendar into a new slot and it's there.
Yes.
I don't mind that. I probably mind a little bit more. It's a little bit more uncomfortable if it's the same day, so pushing something back. But I know that there is definite, I mean, there's at least an episode, if not an entire podcast on its own, about the systems that we are using for this. So write to us at autisticlicense@gmail.com if you would like Shauna and I to talk for an hour, because I can, easy, about the various systems that I've tried out and that I'm using currently. And there are lots of them. Just to, and to cap that bit thought off for myself, I've tortured myself for so long about finding the system that works the best. And what I've ended up with is at least three that have slightly different purposes and are run in different ways, but work together. I am open and comfortable with changing them now. And that applies to so much in my life, that you look for the perfect version of the thing. And the feeling of dissatisfaction and discomfort. And that could be something material. It could be a gadget, a piece of tech, or it could be a system or a process or a habit or a lifestyle thing about exercise. It could be any of those things. I have always thought it's not going to work until I find the one that works exactly right. And I think part of a more mindful approach and a psychotherapeutic approach of good enough is really, really helpful, but does go against a lot of those autistic urges.
Yeah, it does.
Around perfection and efficiency.
I know. It's all these things that you know about yourself and you don't know about yourself, and what I think, how I think I am, and what I think would be too much for me, and how organized on one level I experience myself as, but yet I don't do the systems. I just don't. Mm. Like, whenever you describe all that, like, I don't have systems. I'm scrappy, paper, you know, like, it's just not anything that I do.
Well, I feel a bit of a challenge there, because there, you described quite a consistent, clear system of being able to move post-it notes out of visibility and organizing what's visible into something that's quite consistently comfortable. No,
you're right. There is a system, but it's not anything that I have ever described before, actually, okay, to anyone. And it would feel like it's a kind of a that'll do system rather than almost like waiting until I might have the time to dream up. You know, sometimes I think even about the way I run my practice, and I think some stage I maybe need to work with a coach, or I maybe need to find someone who'll help me be more efficient, you know, to do these things, because there's something that seems to work okay, you know, that seems to keep me happy and not stressed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I seem to have this need to, you know, tell myself, you know, you need to just live a very slow life and it's okay, you know, you don't need to achieve very much. And that does work in keeping me not anxious and keeping me not burnt out and all of that. And I do have a really nice balance between what I want to do in my work life, and I love my work, and also being with my daughter and having other interests. So I'm not saying I want it to change. I'm just looking at how I do that to myself and how I speak to myself and how different that might be to actually what it might look like in terms of the capacity to end up getting the things done. But a lot of it is getting the things done just to what needs to be done to make my life a bit easier. So, you know, I need a storage place, I need to shove that in, rather than that it be the best. And getting a system. I don't think attached to systems.
This is what I'm... So you illustrate and are living what I'm kind of partially at least aiming towards. I like, you know, again, this is where maybe the ritualistic thing comes back, that I do enjoy some of my habits and processes for ritualistic reasons, in that they just feel nice.
Yeah.
And so I would keep, even if they're unnecessary. So I don't want to get rid of them all, but I do, and I think I am, moving, you know, towards a good enough place with some of them and letting go of all this ridiculous seeming necessity for the perfect thing, the perfect process. You know, increasingly I know that this is a things like coaches for the kind of things that you're talking about, you know, you don't know what you don't know, so somebody else can come in and cast an eye and go, actually, this might be more comfortable or better for you.
Yes.
Or the concept of like virtual assistants. More and more people, particularly neurodivergent people, are employing services like that to manage, including therapists, lots of therapists actually, to manage diaries or payments or those or contacts, those kinds of things. Because that's a totally valid thing to do. It's such a disparate set of skills that we're expected to have, and it would be weird if we had all of them.
Yes.
So the idea of letting go of some of the shame or even internalized ableism that we should be able to do all of these things and actually outsource some of them, we'll get some help and advice. And what I wondered, and I guess we have to wrap up in a minute, but what I was wondering when you were describing getting somebody in to help you with some of that, maybe, do you think you could do that for somebody else?
Actually, I don't think I could. I think I would be too muddled with all the other factors that come into play. I feel like I would need a separate person actually to do that. And as you're kind of bringing that to my attention again, like I think, you know, I actually really want to look into maybe getting, you know, that kind of support for myself to really look at my systems and see if there's a better way. You know, I don't mind doing that stuff, but I feel like it probably takes more spoons than I admit. And there's definitely internalized ableism in there for sure. I think there's probably threads to this, isn't there? There's another conversation around feeling like, when am I going to grow up and be an adult and start making proper money?
Yeah.
You know, so it's that kind of thing. Again, can I just enjoy my life?
Yes, they're very familiar. You know? And annoyingly, yeah. I know, and this is a boast, but I am good at all of those things. So I actually don't, I don't have that, you know, frustration not enjoying. I do enjoy and have lots of my systems that work very well for my admin and for my contact. Yes. I enjoy all of that. And therefore, I'd probably do a fair job at helping other people out with it, but it's not something that interests me. I like relational work. But you're talking about the expansion of practice there into, you know, and it's not for me about a bigger practice, but it's about doing more things. And this is one of them. You and me talking like this is part of that. Starting a group, that's another one. Yeah. Doing talks, writing, you know, all of the things that we are touching on at the moment. That's that then stimulates the need for variety, that, you know,
the need for variety is a thing
the ADHD bit will craves and needs to be satisfied with.
So something's happening now for me as we're finishing, and in an autistic brain kind of way, my processing is kind of going over what I said earlier on, and I'm seeing these big flashing demand avoidance lights going on right whenever I was talking about my diary and, you know, not wanting to squeeze things in, you know, because it's kind of okay if there's been like a cancellation and somebody might want an appointment the next day. Well, that's okay, because there's been a cancellation and, you know, that day has already been sorted out to have the right amount in it, not to stress me out. But, you know, if it's anything outside of that, I was kind of saying, well, I'm not just going to, you know, even if it looks like there's space, not just going to put somebody in there. And I'm seeing that under this idea of demand avoidance, not even so much like that the person asking is making a demand, like, you know, whether that was a friend or whether that's somebody work-related. But the internal demand around it that kind of says, oh, that's going to tip you over.
Right.
Like, you're not going to then be able to, you know, be calm and balanced. And obviously able to be present for yourself, you know, for the people that you are around, it's going to be too much. But that's an internal moderator that relates to my sense of the demand being too much for me. So anyway, I don't know if that made sense, but as I'm saying it, just because of that experience of where there can be different sort of roads traveling at once.
I understand,
You know, they kind of are sometimes seem to be what some people would say is delayed processing, but actually it's because so much has gone on and it's like not wanting to miss something. So it sort of, you know, doesn't come through until a little bit later on, even if it, you know, it might seem slow, but actually it's thorough.
Yes.
Okay, on that note, I shall see you when I see you.
See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Autistic License Podcast. We're very open to feedback and suggestions for future topics. You can connect with us via Instagram, Facebook, or at autisticlicense.com, or by email at autisticlicense@gmail.com. We spell license the British way, LICENCE. If you're interested in therapy with an autistic counsellor, you can visit thrivingautistic.org.